T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Our next guest is a Super Bowl winning head coach, a former AP NFL Coach of the Year. He's a member of the NFL on CBS. You see him every single Sunday with James Brown, Boomer Esiason, and Phil Simms and Nate Burleson, beginning at noon Eastern time on Sundays. Sunday's lineup includes the Lions and Bears, Bills and Browns, Ravens and Bengals, Chiefs and Titans, and then late kick Dolphins and Colts. All the action begins on Sunday, starting with that other pregame show, CBS Sports Network at 8 a.m. Eastern time, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. Our friend Bill Cowher. Coach, good morning.
Morning, DA. How are we doing?
Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm in New York, too.
A lot of people question the Steelers trading a first-round draft pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick after Ben Roethlisberger went down. And yet here they are, 4-4, and Fitzpatrick has been a turnover machine, helping that defense win some games along the way. Do you think the Steelers, your former organization, is vindicated in their decision of trading a first-rounder for Fitzpatrick?
Well, I mean, I thought even when they did it at the time, I thought it was a very good trade. Just from the standpoint of Minkah Fitzpatrick, when you think about it, he's in his second year. You know what you saw in the first year of this guy being a very special player. He was a very high number one pick. And now you got him from a cap standpoint with the same contract, and you know what you've got. And it was an area they were going to have to address next year anyway. Sean Davis has not been able to be healthy within the last year of his contract. So safety was a very important area for them in terms of that defense, and I think getting him solidified that defense and kind of took care of the middle of that. Now they got Devin Bush, you got Minkah Fitzpatrick, and you got Cam Hayward, and you got two bookend rushers. Now what you've seen, you know, when they did that is, okay, we went from an offensive football team, let's now build this around the identity of being a defensive football team with the offense complementing us, and I think you've seen that happen in the last 3 weeks.
You spent years as a player in Cleveland, years as a coach in Cleveland. The Browns, their season is on life support right now. They'll host a very good Bills team coming up on Sunday. Does it surprise you that it's been so hard for them to get in the win column this year?
No, I think we put such a high expectation on them. And, you know, we sit there and look at all the people that they have, and, yeah, there's some talented names, and, you know, you know about OBJ and, you know, Jarvis Landry and, you know, Chubb and everything else, and Baker Mayfield, the way he finished last year. I think what you're looking at is a team that, you know, a lot of it's been it's self-induced. You're talking about a team that has a lot of lead the league in penalties. They've given up a lot of turnovers on offense, some big plays on defense, and, you know, they've just not been able to put everything together. You know, Baker does not look comfortable, to be honest with you, right now. And so if I'm sitting there right now as Freddie Kitchens, who's a first-time head coach, I think he's tried to temper the expectation. But at the same time, now what you have to do is kind of adapt and adjust. I mean, adapt to where you are. Adjust your systems accordingly. You got to be able to stop the run better on defense. You got to be able to not turn the football over and finish some of these drives. I thought they came off really playing their best game last week against Denver. Now, they fell short, but they did not beat themselves. They were not able to score in the red zone. They had several field goals, and they came back to haunt them. And then they gave up a couple of big plays on defense. So, you know, they're getting there. And, again, what they have to do right now is eliminate all the outside noise, worry about the expectations, and just find a way to win a game.
Bill Cowher joins us from the NFL on CBS. Let's talk about Freddie Kitchens for a moment. You've been a coordinator in the NFL. You've been a head coach in the NFL. Just how much more responsibility is it to balance being a coordinator and a head coach at the same time?
Well, there's no manuscript for being a head coach. And so when you go, and the dynamic is different in every building. You know, what you're walking into and what the responsibilities are. And in a lot of cases, the biggest thing is being a head coach is you never coach with a lot of these coaches you have now. And plus the responsibilities that you have outside of what you're doing. And I know Freddie's calling plays, and that's fine, and he can do that. But again, you have to be able to delegate, have a handle on things, have a pulse for your football team. And so I think, again, every week is a new experience. Every week you become a little bit better at it because you're able to now understand how you can, you know, have time management from the standpoint of where you want to spend your time and what areas you have to be able to address. So I think sometimes we get too quick to be judgmental on it. Freddie will get better as the season goes on, as he goes through this. And so, again, I think sometimes we get too hesitant to be able to, like, rate or fire coaches when they, you know, never done it before. Give him some time to grow into that position. I understand his football team, and we're halfway through it. It's not been the start that they've wanted, but now is not the time to panic or overreact. I think what you need to do for Freddie is I'll just simplify things. Let him simplify it. Get it back to where now you've got too much talent on that team. Don't try to trick people. Don't try to do anything more. But I would dial it more back than trying to do something and thinking outside the box.
Mm. Bills and Browns come up 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS. Also an early kick is going to be the Ravens and the Bengals. And what the Ravens did on Sunday night was really impressive. Out of what they did against the Patriots, what impressed you the most?
Well, I think they played very good defensively. I thought they were very sound. They kind of threw some blitz packages at Tom, and I think, you know, it was interesting to watch that game, a chess match. And I thought what was interesting was when New England went into their no huddle, it really helped their running game a lot. You know, and I thought that they kind of got back into that game, and they got a better feel also for Lamar. I think Lamar, those first couple drives, went up and down that field, and like, wow, it's hard to simulate that offense in practice. I thought what you saw in that game was really starting to get a better feel for that offense and what they needed to do as that game went on. And I think that last Edelman fumble, you know, if they had scored there, we'd have had an interesting finish to that game. So I think when you play the Baltimore Ravens and you play them for the first time, it's just an unconventional offense to prepare for. And it's hard to simulate that in practice. So it's one of those games when you play against Baltimore, if you can kind of get through that first wave that you go through, is not put yourself into a hole, you can kind of get a feel for the game and how it unfolds, because that's the way that offense is. This is a game coming up. They got to be really careful because, you know, you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, you watch them on tape, you see, you know, a team that hasn't won a game. This is one of those games, I hate to call it a trap game, but, you know, it's a game against a team that's got a new quarterback. We've seen what new quarterbacks have done to teams this season. You know, Ryan Finley's coming in there, and, you know, we've never seen this guy. We have no tape on this guy. It's one of those games going to Cincinnati, and it's a divisional game. You've got to be really careful and make sure that you don't get caught up in the hoopla of what just took place last week and forget about what's going ahead, what's waiting ahead of you in Cincinnati.
Bill Cowher joins us from the NFL on CBS. Another CBS game is going to be in the NFC North, the Lions and the Bears. If you're head coach Matt Nagy, how are you handling Mitchell Trubisky, Chase Daniel, and the quarterback position right now? Because Trubisky is just so ineffective, and the season's sliding away.
Well, let's look at Mitch Trubisky, and let's look at this team that was 11-5 in the playoffs a year ago, and he's lost a lot of close games this year. He's not performed that well, certainly, and I think what they've done is they've gotten away from the running game. They're not running the football like they did a year ago, and they had Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, and Mitch Trubisky was doing all the play action, getting outside the box. I would just sit back and just analyze that, maybe get some thought to going back to doing the things that Mitch Trubisky does well, utilizing his athleticism, getting back into a very comfort situation where he's outside the pocket, doing some of the things that he's done before and had success doing before. So, again, for the Bears, you know, as you sit there and talk with them, is, you know, I still think defensively they're a solid football team, but they're also getting a feel for a new defensive coordinator in Chuck Pagano. He lost Vic Fangio a year ago. He's now become a head coach. There's been a lot of change up there, and I think right now for Matt Nagy, he's having to adapt and adjust his football team accordingly.
Bill Cowher, former Steelers head coach, Super Bowl champion, joined CBS Sports in 07 ever since. The NFL Today with the guys James Brown, Boomer Esiason, Phil Simms, Nate Burleson has been humming. Starts at noon Eastern on Sundays. CBS's lineup, Lions, Bears, Bills, Browns, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Titans all early, Dolphins and Colts late. Start your day Sunday with that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network beginning at 10 at 8 a.m. Eastern time, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. Coach, it's always fun to catch up, man. Thanks so much for doing it. Enjoy New York this week.
All right, thanks, Dan.
You got it. Bill Cowher joining us this morning here on the show. I think Coach brings up an interesting point there about getting the ground game going in Chicago to take some pressure off of Mitchell Trubisky. I think that that's of the utmost importance. But I also think you can't afford to start Trubisky much longer. I really don't. And this is a delicate position for the Chicago Bears and their front office and Matt Nagy because they have traded assets to move up to get Trubisky. So if you've traded up to get him, you've traded away assets to get him, you've moved up to number two to get him, you want to give him every chance to succeed. If you found him on a scrap heap, if he was an undrafted free agent, if he was Kyle Allen or Brandon Allen, at this point he wouldn't have the job. He has the job because they saw something in him, and it would be admitting a massive mistake, and they don't want to do that yet. But if Mitchell Trubisky wasn't drafted number two overall, would he still be starting? Look, I realize Chase Daniel isn't Deshaun Watson incarnate, but you can't tell me that the Bears give themselves the best chance to win every week right now with Trubisky. Now, maybe they just want to see if Trubisky fights his way out of this by the end of the season, and then they can reassess. Cam Newton's probably going to be available. In the offseason, Cam Newton's probably available. And who knows what happens to guys like Teddy Bridgewater or Gardner Minshew if Nick Foles comes in and plays well. There might be guys that were backups this year that in the offseason get starting roles. And maybe that's where the Bears are looking, saying, let's just see Trubisky play this thing out. But for the Bears coming off 12-4 last year, to be 3-5, and the season's on life support. If you lose on Sunday to fall in 3-6, I mean, frankly, the season's over. I just don't understand how much longer you can realistically start Trubisky and think he gives you the best chance to win. It is nightmarish. 6 yards of the half? In NFL 2019, you can drop back to pass every play for the entire first half and draw a pass interference worth more than 6 yards. At some point in time, if all you did was, we are not running the football, we're not even running real plays here, we're just stepping back to pass, and on our five first half drives or four first half drives, we're in shotgun, all goes, everybody go deep, we're going to throw the football up 3 times and punt. You will draw at least one pass interference or complete the pass because the cornerback or the safety is scared about getting a pass interference. 6 yards at a half of an NFL game in 2019 is virtually impossible. It is virtually impossible. That's how bad Trubisky and that Bears offense is right now. The Black Cat ran on the field on Monday night. And now there's been an investigation into the cat situation in the Meadowlands. And we have evidence now that the Meadowlands may have a cat problem. Cat scratch fever, ba-da-da-da. Cat scratch fever, ba-da-da-da. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Callers come on, they have to ask to board. If he grants them permission to board, he plays that sound effect. Like, come on.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS features the Chiefs taking on the Titans. or an NFC encounter between the Lions and Bears. All beginning with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern Time, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS is spectacular, yeah!
Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, her mom's got the stomach bug, so I get to take this cutie to school for the first time today. Listening to the show on the way, she asked me what we were listening to. I said, a spaceship. Take that, Aaron. Dixieland Dan taking his adorable daughter to school and sending a picture as well. So, hello.
Oh, okay.
Greg tweets, L.A. is a Lakers town. The Clippers are a distant second. So you know what? Kawhi can go ahead and load manage. This is a delicate situation in NBA land. Because they want their stars on national TV, and they realize their stars don't necessarily care. Some do. Some, like Kawhi, don't. And they've tried everything in the book, spreading out the season, adding in more rest days, less travel days, even saying that you could be fined. But there's nothing they can do from stopping Kawhi Leonard from saying, yeah, you know what, my knee's just not feeling good. And the Clippers are going to have to bow down to Kawhi Leonard because they don't want Kawhi to pull a Spurs on them and leave. There's nothing the NBA can do except seriously consider removing games from the schedule. 82 games is so dumb. I'm going to go way to one side of this argument for you, okay? Just to make a point. Could you imagine if there were only 16 NBA games like the NFL? Could you imagine LeBron plays once a week on Sunday? What those games' ratings would be? Could you imagine the type of interest and the type of energy we would see in those games? Could you imagine a 16-game NBA schedule? Now, clearly, you can play far more basketball games than football games on your body. But just think about the event that one LeBron game would be per week and how important every game would be for the Lakers to try to get to the playoffs. I'm not saying go to 16, but less games, every game becomes way more important. And on 82 games, say what you want about the players. They're wusses. They're weak. They're excuse makers. Whatever. They're soft. Look, they get to control this. If they don't want to play, teams are not going to stop them because teams need them too much. And the NBA is in a volume problem. On Monday night, we had a black cat run across the Meadowlands. And it turns out that stadium officials still don't know where that cat is now. The stadium said it has set out multiple humane traps. I don't know what that means. Like fancy feast and then a net on top? What, like a really comfortable little cat bed and then a box that drops down over it? What's a really humane trap there?
I think it's like a cat cage that they put food in. And then it's like an automatic, once it senses somebody walked in there, the cat cage just shuts, and it's like a carrier.
Doesn't sound humane at all.
How? It eats food, now it's in a carrier.
It's trapped in a cage until you get it.
No, but you're on tour of them the whole time.
Yeah. Well, in the Meadowlands, wherever you set those cages up, I'm sure there's going to be a bit of a delay in getting to them after a cat's in there. One employee purportedly known as, quote, the Cat Man, I'm not making this up. This is from the New York Post. Tells the Post there are over 300 feral cats on site of the Meadowlands. Now, where MetLife Stadium is, there's also a racetrack, the Meadowlands Raceway, and a whole bunch of swampland, as well as massive parking lots, highways, and a mall complex that's been being built for like 25 years. 300 feral cats, this guy says. The man declined to give his real name. He's just known as the Cat Man, but said the cats feast on up to 11 25-pound bags of dry food a week. Somebody's hauling in 11 different 25-pound bags of dry food a week. Now, the stadiums say, no. It's more like 30 barn cats. 30. 30 or 300. Big difference here. Here is Jerry Recco and Al Dukes as part of WFAN's morning show discussing behind the scenes what they know.
Jerry, there's been reports that there's upwards of 300 cats living at the MetLife Stadium area. So Boomer brought this up yesterday. Yeah. Then it was in the New York Post today had a story about all these cats because they were talking to an unnamed source who works there and feeds the cats.
Is this Ben McAdoo?
It's not. He's gone, Jerry. He does not stay there feeding cats. They said they initially brought some cats in because the racetrack had a rat problem and these cats
would eat them.
Yeah. Would control the rat problem. But now they've gotten so out of control that there are cats living in different sections of the stadium.
So they've reproduced.
They've reproduced. Cats in these tunnels, cats in this tunnel.
Could you imagine how big of a mistake this was by the Meadowlands? First of all, they got a rat problem because they're in New Jersey. Okay, that's a surefire rat infestation, as Mraz might say. So number two, they go, okay, well, let's get rid of the rats. Let's bring in cats. How do you not bring in neutered cats? How do you not think a boatload of cats chasing around rats in the middle of the Jersey swamp aren't going to reproduce, even if it's not with each other? There's probably other weird feline-type animals in those swamps that they can reproduce with. Weasels.
What?
Otters. Raccoons.
Right, the great otter problem of East Rutherford, New Jersey.
There are things in that swamp we don't even know about. You know that.
Yeah, they might eat the cats. Maybe that's what they're thinking. The cats eat the rats. These things eat the cats. And it's a circle of life. But I must have an infestation.
But now you're bringing in, let's just say they originally brought in 50 cats, okay? 50 cats to silence the rat problem. 50 cats that are unneutered are going to go bonkers out there. There's trash. There's toxic sludge they can eat from. There's stadium garbage.
There's Jody Mack sleeping outside the racetrack.
All they have to do is come out once a week around Jets or Giants games. Think of all the trash that they can eat from. I mean, bags and bags and bags of trash. Then they become super cats, and then you can't kill them because they're eating pretzels. And they're eating burgers and nachos.
Good burgers.
They're eating all of that, okay? They're sipping on some beer. So now you've created an army of super cats. And that's what we saw on the stadium field on Monday night. That was a super cat. Somehow the super cat just got to the field, found his way onto the field, stared down everybody. Did whatever he wanted and then finally said, okay, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to go into the tunnel. And now they can't find the cat. And there's 300 super cats?
Look, they created a monster. They created a monstrous breed of cats. Now they're going to have, what'd you call them, a fentanyl cat?
Feral.
A feral cat?
No.
A feral cat?
They're not an opioid.
Then the Siamese cats? Now you're going to have Meadowlands cats. And Meadowlands cats are not going to be house trained. They are not going to be. They're going to sit there, and they're going to watch bad play calling, and they're going to kill people.
Well, here is my question. Okay, you got 300 feral cats out of the Meadowlands eating stadium trash, eating old Jody Mack cigarette butts and betting slips. And also, now that we have the sports book that's legalized in Jersey, there's somebody every day out there.
Moose.
There's somebody every day out there walking out of that sports book and dumping French fries on the ground and like a soda. These super cats, you can't pick them up, trap them, and then bring them to a shelter. They'll tear apart regular cats, and you try to adopt one and bring them home? That thing's eating through your wall. It's going to eat through your wall, eat through your porch. It's going to be...
Eat through your porch?
It's going to be devastating. Super cats with New Jersey toxic sludge coursing through their veins that have just been reared on Meadowland swamp rats.
And have been reproduced. They might be third generation super cats by
now. Exactly.
underground society. That's why they can't find them, because they're under the ground in this dark lair. There's, I feel like there's fire, maybe like Ray Hanley's bones underneath there too. They've got mementos kept down below. Old Phil Simms jerseys been dragged down there.
That's where Jim Fossil is.
That's where Jim Fossil is.
Fossil couldn't find a job. We were like, where's Fossil? He once went to a Super Bowl. Suddenly we look. He's like Chester Copperpot in the Goonies. We're like, he found his wallet. It's Jim Fossil. He was eaten by the Supercats.
Rodney Hampton walks out in a big like cat fur coat. He's somehow in charge of them.
Look, there is something terrifying about this. Is there
100%.
Not? 100%. And how did they bring in non-neutered cats and not think this is going to be a problem?
They were in a hurry. That's why. They were in a hurry to clear the rats out. They're not worried about whether the cat can reproduce or not.
Cats that snack on Meadowlands rats? Could you imagine what those types of cats become?
And when I thought it was just a lone cat, it was already scary enough. People are like, why wouldn't you catch? Who's going to touch them? Cats are mean. Then you factor in that there's a universe of them.
Yeah.
And all of this fuel for evil around the Meadowlands that they've been feasting on for who knows how long.
Yeah.
That cat's a trained killer.
Also, any animal that survives at the Meadowlands is already a bionic animal. That place is polluted since the 60s. They've been dumping toxic sludge into that swamp for decades now, and nobody cleans it up. Nobody.
It's America's Chernobyl.
Well, I bet it was these cats that finally finished that stupid mall that's been built for 12 years. They're like, you know what, enough's enough. And one night they just went in there.
And that's
the group they finished it. Like, here you go, people.
Right, those cats had hard hats and smoked cigarettes. But that's why they don't want you knowing that there's that many cats, because they had a rat problem, because they're opening a brand new billion-dollar mall with food and restaurants and everything, and they don't want people being scared off to come there knowing that the grounds is a rat problem that they need 700 cats for.
Rats in New York City are scary enough that they live in the subways, they have these warm pipes they can live in, they eat Chinese food dripping out of garbage bags every night. But that's nothing compared to a rat that can survive in the elements in the swamps in New Jersey. That is a glowing rat that you cannot kill. And to know there's an army of cats that have been bred living on the rats.
Right.
That is a whole different type of animal species. And now, what, you think you can eradicate that? No way. I'd love to see them bring, oh yeah, here's 200 cats from the Meadowlands. Let's see if they can get adopted. Are you kidding me? Oh, nice, fluffy. Ah, my hand! My hand is gone! It ate my entire hand!
Yeah, very quietly, the NYSPCA is like, we don't want these cats.
Let me tell you.
No thanks.
Meadowland super cats are the equivalent of what's happening to alligators in Florida. These things that are monster, that are taking over golf courses and looking like huge army tanks. You know, they're not afraid of anybody. You can't kill them. They're supersized. That's what these Meadowlands cats, probably that cat on Monday night was a mini cat. There's probably cats that are five times that size.
He's just
size.
Taunting us.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. The dry run on the invasion.
That was a scat cat, okay? That was barely like a full-size running back.
A Tariq Cohen cat.
Exactly.
A Brian Westbrook, if you will.
Exactly.
But Christian Okoye is looming in the background somewhere.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There is an Okoye cat somewhere in there.
Here comes Brandon Jacobs.
Totally. There is a Brandon Jacobs, Willie Rofe cat somewhere back there.
Hopefully it's Pat Shermer.
When we come back, your best audio of the day, and that includes Jim Boeheim calling out his own conference for having to play conference games last night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here. On CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
42 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us on a fine Thursday. We appreciate you being here, part of the DA Show every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. And our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all, geico.com. Tomorrow I am in for Jim Rome. So for those of you listening to the DA Show, you will hear John Kincaid in my slot, and then I will be filling in for Jim. Jim, deservedly so, is being inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame tomorrow.
which is such a deserving honor. I mean this when I say this. He is the greatest ever to do this. What we do, he is the greatest ever to do this. And it's a long time coming. His longevity is remarkable. His discipline is remarkable. Listen to that show and see if you have ever heard a mistake. I mean, listen to this show. There's mistakes all over the place, primarily by me. Listen to him, and for 25 years, there's never a slip-up. It is amazing to listen to. And the brand, the show, the clones, the interviews, the moments, the drops are all so deserving of the Hall of Fame, and even more so have affected so much of how we hear sports radio and really sports media discourse. You know, there used to be hard takes defined by Jim Rome. Now, hard takes are everywhere, and they've been watered down to the point where everyone's doing a bad impersonation of Jim when he was doing something really authentic and really unique 25 years ago. So he is so deserving, and it's going to be awesome to fill in for him tomorrow on such a momentous day for him and his crew inducted to the Hall of Fame. If you normally listen to the DA show via podcast, fear not. We'll have that podcast of my show doing Jim's show in the normal DA show iTunes feed. So you're good to go there. 45 minutes past the hour. As always, you can tweet at me, DA on CBS. Aaron tweets, load management is stupid. MJ didn't take games off to rest. He still managed to win 6 rings. All the all-time greats showed up night in, night out. Does baby need a bottle with his rest? Hashtag get him out.
This is stupid.
Dr. Trim tweets, stop it. The NHL plays 82 games. They hit, they fight, they dive in front of 100-mile-an-hour slap shots. Stop it. Guys, you're screaming into the wind, okay? This is just old man yelling at clouds if this is going to be your argument. You can yell all you want about how NHL players are tougher or MJ never did this. You think that's going to change Kawhi Leonard's mind? You think us yelling about this changes Kawhi Leonard's mind? Kawhi Leonard makes up his mind, whether he wants to play or not. Tim Duncan, the San Antonio Spurs in general, have been doing this for a decade. LeBron James, load management. Everybody in the NBA, load management. You think by trying to argue that NHL players are tougher or that once upon a time this didn't happen, that's going to guilt them into playing? It ain't. Sorry. It's not. What you need to do as the NBA is manage the current player. You've got to manage the current situation. Walking into the Clippers locker room and saying, hey, Kawhi, hockey players, Kawhi, Michael. You think that gets him off of his rock? Of course not. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. And the Clippers can't do anything about it because the Clippers don't want to upset their golden ticket. And what? You're going to say that Kawhi's program is wrong? He sat 20 games last year. What ended up happening? Carried the Raptors to the NBA championship. NBA Finals MVP. One-man wrecking crew. So, he's wrong? It worked. And what do we say? Get the ring. Get the ring. The ring's the only thing that matters. Hey, LeBron, you need more rings. Who cares about points? Who cares about assists? Who cares about games played to the all-time list? You need rings. That's how you catch Michael. Rings. So we've framed the greatness of players with championships. All that matters is playoff success and championships, right? And now we're saying, but you should play all the games too. Well, which one is it? Kawhi holds all the cards. The star players hold all the cards. Even the teams are acquiescing. like the Spurs and saying, we don't want you to play all of the games, and you think the fix is, yeah, but hockey. Yeah, but the 80s. Doesn't work. The NBA's only solution here is to either mandate somehow that you've got to play 78 of the 82 games. I don't know. But I don't know how you're going to ever try to figure out what's an injury and what's not. Or chop off games. There's only two solutions here. That you're going to fine every player when they miss a game and try to figure out what's an injury and what's not. Or chop off games. Otherwise, there is no solution here. And this is just the way it's going to be. Let's give you your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Here's Anthony Lynn. Check that. Who do we switch this to? Mitchell Trubisky. That's right. Okay, so Trubisky says in the Bears facility, we are changing the TVs, turning them off because there's too much negativity out there.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of, people, or what we're going through, what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And so, yeah, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing.
Yeah, we know what you're capable of doing, and it's stink up the joint every Sunday. Mitch, we know, okay? We're well aware. We've seen it every week this season from you. You stink. The offense stinks. You're getting worse. And I've got a soft spot for Mitchell Trubisky because actually he's a young kid. He's trying to say the right thing, trying to be a leader. But you could just hear every week all this silliness that comes out of his mouth because he doesn't quite know how to do it. The only way to really do it is to play better. You can't lead unless you're actually successful in what you do. Can't do it. Then nobody respects you. And Mitchell's saying, well, I'm going to study my on-field behavior. I'm going to see how, I'm going to study the film on how I look on the sideline. You know, I want to make sure that I'm loose. We're going to turn off the TVs of the facility. Look, nobody's following you until you play better. And right now, you're beyond bad. Baker Mayfield looked like a forlorn drug dealer when he took the podium after Sunday's loss.
The quarterbacks had a Movember mustache. And the original thought for me, do the handlebars, I was undefeated before Sunday with the handlebar mustache. So I shaved it off because I didn't deserve it.
Baker Mayfield
shaved off his Fu Manchu, his handlebar mustache, because he, quote, didn't deserve it. You want two franchises just lost at sea right now, the Bears and the Browns. Huge expectations. Young quarterbacks, both feeling themselves, and now they are just twisting in the wind. And the pressure mounts, and it doesn't get easier. And you hear all the criticism, and you know all the noise is there. And you press, and you pressure, and you melt even more. And it forces you into more mistakes. And that's what is happening with these two guys. They came in with a lot of confidence. They got it poked. The balloon's air went out, and they're scrambling. And they're young. They're young. They're in their 20s. They're not even their mid-20s. They're really young people dealing with hard things in a public eye. But those two dudes are lost. And Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim was forced to play his opening tip, his opening game against the defending national champions. And it went really well as Syracuse scored 34 points last night.
You never want to play the league games early. That's stupid. It's just a money grab. They got scheduled games for TV, for the TV contract. So you got to play games early. And then somebody had the brilliant idea of opening up the first game with a league game. I just don't think it's good. I don't think it's smart. You want to build up to the league. The league's the most important thing. So why would you play the first game of the year in the league? Makes no sense to me, but that's just what happens when you go to 20 games and somebody wants you to play early.
As somebody that called Syracuse's early games on student radio when he was in college, the likes of which were Northeastern Atlantic State and Marathon Oil and AAU teams, I can tell you that you usually don't get a competitive opponent for Jim Boeheim until, like, early January. So for him to play the defending national champions on opening night because the ACC network wanted content early to push the ACC network, he never liked this idea, and this is why. His team wasn't ready for this. Now, not a lot of teams are, but I think he's got a point that it's just an embarrassing time of year to try to figure things out against your best opponent on the schedule. I mean, UVA is the defending national champ, and you've got to play them on night number one. You score 34 points. This was a money grab by the ACC network. But guess who benefits from the money grab? Jim Boeheim. Boeheim's salary gets paid in part because the athletic department and the basketball team makes money based on the ACC network and the television deal. So, you know, unfortunately, while he's right, this is kind of crazy. Also, sorry, cry me a river. You get paid because of it. When we come back, LSU Bama.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.